And welcome to the End Time Show for our Entire Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald. Today's podcast will be dealing with part two, Adolf Hitler, the Almost Antichrist. Now, I would recommend listening to part one. Part one, we really established the foundation that Hitler was involved in the occult, deeply involved in the occult, which will further discoverly will examine in this particular podcast for part two. But in part one, we really stress how he was a very extraordinary public speaker, and the way that he was able to, his persona, his aura, it really put the whole entire nation of Germany in spellbound. Even in his writings in Mein Kampf, which we quoted some things about, he really believed that his speaking had magical powers to it, that his words were very powerful through the art of magic, and he was able to put people under a hypnotic state, which in essence, he really put the whole entire nation of Germany was spellbound. He had them under actual spell, which they did his bidding and did some horrific acts during World War II and some other things and all. And people really celebrated this man as a messiah-like figure. He was looked at as a German messiah, which will kind of dip in part two, kind of look at some things, how Hitler was viewed in his inner circle, occult circles there in Germany. One of the things that Hitler really personified, a type of Antichrist, even in part one, we talked about 1 John, I believe it was chapter two, talks about that there's many Antichrists. There's ultimately the son of perdition, the ultimate Antichrist will bring the culmination of all things. But Hitler definitely checked a lot of boxes, and it's a precursor of the Antichrist that would take place. So when we look at some of the characteristics of the Antichrist, we have to look at that he will be possessed with extraordinary intelligence. So be highly intelligent, just beyond wisdom and other things that no man has ever seen. So let's look at the scripture. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. And we're going to look at it from the King James Version. And then we're going to look at the English Standard Version. It says, "And the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows." We're going to go to the New English Standard Version and read that same verse of scripture so you can get another view, another context of what we are trying to discuss. So it says, "And about 10 horns that were on his head, and the other horn that came up, and before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things that seemed greater than his companions." So this is Daniel. Daniel is writing this, and Daniel's prophetically writing this because it's near future, but ultimately further out future. The person that really personified a lot of things that Daniel was writing was Antiochus Epiphanes, who that's where we get Hanukkah and some other things and all that. He was one of the rulers that ruled during that time. We all know, I'm just going to cut it brief, but with Alexander the Great, when he died, the kingdom was divided up with his 4 generals, and that's how eventually one of the descendants of one of those rulers end up being Antiochus Epiphanes, which end up defiling the temple and some other things and all. So it's kind of speaking about that, but Hitler really personified a person that spoke very much great things, very much nationalist, other things and all that it will, he promised the Germans to kind of bring them to glory and really revive them and have this Aryan utopia. But we know that it was mass destruction. It's very much anti-Semitic and some other things and all. Another thing, when we have to look at the characteristics of the Antichrist, it talks about not only his intelligence, it talks about a king of fierce countenance and that will understand dark sentences, that which will baffle others to the simple, which means that Solomon was very wise. God endowed him with wisdom because he asked for it. So this Antichrist figure will be endowed with satanic wisdom that's devilish, demonic wisdom that he will exemplify. So when we go over to Daniel chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 23, and we're going to read from the English Standard Version of the Bible, and then we'll go to the New King James. It says, "And the latter end of the kingdom, when the transgressions have reached their limit, a king of bold face, who understands riddles, shall arise." So we're going to go to the New King James Version. We're going to look at the same scripture verse of that. And it reads, "And in the latter times, a kingdom, when the transgressions have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes." So Hitler had a great understanding of sinister schemes, had a very much understanding of propaganda to really sway people, to manipulate them into his thinking and do his demonic bidding, with the Nazi scientists mixing science and the occult, were able to make all these technological advances and other things and all. So we see certain characteristics within Adolf Hitler, which Daniel describes about the Antichrist, but Hitler possessed some of those extraordinary characteristics also too. One of the things that we did briefly point out in part one, Hitler's use of mind-altering drugs, psychedelic drugs, and other things and all, but Hitler really, the way for him to attain higher levels of consciousness was by the means of drugs and penetrating the study of medieval occultism and ritual magic. So he's very much heavily involved in drugs, is very much heavily involved in medieval occultism, and very much heavily involved in ritual magic, which has been undergoing a revival since the 20th century with the Aleister Crowley and its progress. But we see a lot of that in the 1960s. It just wasn't a cultural revolution. It was a spiritual revolution that took place because you had people like Timothy Leary, the drug guru, was very much heavily involved in the occult. It just wasn't just promoting LSD, but he was looked at as the prophet of psychedelic drugs and other things and all. And he was good friends with Aldous Huxley. Huxley, I believe, died around 1963, 1964. But Leary was very much heavily involved and knew what he was doing by ushering in drugs, was a attack on Judeo-Christianity. And both him and Huxley saw the one thing that can stop their sinister plan was the Bible. So the end game for Leary was to overthrow Judeo-Christianity and to revive paganism, which we definitely live in a postmodern neo-pagan society. But even with Germany, during that time with Hitler, when Hitler arrives, pretty much the overall type of Christianity that was being practiced, they had a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. They're just cultural Christians. So when this demonic power arose in Germany, it really swept the people and really had them spellbound, because they're unable, the majority of the people, you had some that were faithful Christians, were able to see through Nazism and other things that Hitler presented, that it was wrong and it was demonic, but just those people were persecuted and put in camps and other things and all. So we have to be able to be watchful and to discern and not get overtaken by political, even political figures that are very charismatic and other things and all, and say all the right things. We have to be able to discern the times. Daniel 7:20 also touched upon how this, the Antichrist, even Hitler's mouth, they're able to speak great things. So the Antichrist will, and Hitler had his oratory skills were beyond this world, which we stressed in part two. And he spoke with such authority, even Revelation chapter 13, verse 2 talks about how the beast will speak like a dragon, being in power. Dragons also too, around other cultures, are serpents, are seeing a figure of wisdom and other things and all. And even when we look at other cultures around the world, the dragon or serpent is seen as a savior type figure. So when we're looking at different characteristics, and Hitler being involved in ritual magic, occultism, and drugs, we see even this going on within today's society. We even see this in regards to some of the prolific comic book writers, like Alan Moore and Grant Morrison, are very much heavily involved in ritual magic. And also too, they're very much heavily involved in partaking in that ritual magic, mind altering or psychedelic drugs that enhance their writing skills and all. And that's why these men are driven by demonic knowledge. They obtain this demonic knowledge through demonic powers, through demons, practicing ritual magic and chaos magic and all these other things and all, have really gifted them in writing. So Hitler and the Antichrist will definitely be aided by satanic powers and occult powers that they'll be practicing. So even when we look at some of the framework of Nazism, really it's connected with the Thule society, both intermingled, which gave rise to Nazism. So the Thule society, that one had to look for the real inspiration of Nazism. So the Thule society really inspired Nazism. So that's where it really gave the push. The Thule Society had gathered together certain Prussian Freemasonry lodges and a number of anti-Semitic associations. So even at the very origins in the beginning, which Hitler was part of the Thule Society and Nazism, they had an element of Freemasonry, occultism, and anti-Semitic association. So it's much easier, the formation of Nazism. One of the things is they blended occultism, paganism, and they both share anti-Semitic views, which really gave it fuel to the Holocaust and the destruction of 6 million Jews in Europe, and pretty much the destruction of Europe, through World War II, being just demonically driven. When we look at other things, the very foundation of Nazism and the Thule Society, the committee and the 40 original members of the New German Workers' Party were all drawn from the most powerful occult society in Germany, the Thule Society. So the original members of the German Working Party were drawn from this occult society, which is the Thule Society. So it was definitely a occult society. Even it's fiction, it's was in the movies, but Indiana Jones movies and other things, and Raiders of the Lost Ark, some of that has some element of things that the Germans, Nazis, were seeking certain things, that certain items that they thought that had very much occult powers. And so they're heavily involved. So the bottom line, Hitler's inner circle, not just him, were heavily involved in the occult, and the Thule Society was the main foundation. We look again at some of the inner core within the Thule Society were all Satanists who practiced black magic. So the inner core of the Thule Society, they all were outright Satanists. So some people try to portray the Nazis were Christians and all. Most of them were Roman Catholics, but they blended in occultism with their Roman Catholic beliefs and some other things. And our bottom line, they were heavily involved in magic, black magic, and they were Satanists. We can also look at Joseph Carr's writing in his book, The Twisted Cross. He wrote this, he wrote the following, which I thought was very profound. I'd like to make this point. He says, the inner group, which controlled the Thule Society, contained men who were self-confessed Luciferians. So we've done studies, I believe we did a podcast, which we'll do another part again. It's Gnosticism and the rise of serpent and dragon worship. We talked about that, but you have some people, and then within occult societies, you have the left-hand path, which is a little bit more darker, and it's like the black side practice black magic and some other things, and then you have the right-hand path that practice white magic and some other things and all. And when you look at Luciferianism, they believe that Lucifer is the true God, and you can evolve as God, is the light barrier. And Satan or Satanist is more the dark part of it. And then even when you look at, which is another subject in itself, Star Wars is very much heavily with Hinduism and the occult. When you have the dark side and the light side of the force, there's really nothing. The it's really blurry lines when you talk about what's good and what's evil. So I find it very interesting that it's documented that people within Nazism that were part of the Thule group or society were both Satanists and Luciferians, which is very interesting. So even when we look at the book of Revelation, things that we touched upon, Hitler using mind altering drugs, book of Revelation talks about escalation of the use of drugs, pharmakia, sorcery be taking place, occult revival, which occult revival took place in Germany. We see that in the book of Revelation, where people will be, all these judgments will be taking place in Revelation chapter 9. And it says those who are left alive won't repent. They will continue to worship their demons. So Nazism, they worship these Norse, German gods. They brought back paganism, but heavily involved in the occult. One interesting person that was really behind Hitler and his success was his mentor, Diedrich Eckart, was one of the seven original people who founded the Nazi Party. And in fact, he was called the spiritual founder of Nazism. So Diedrich Eckart was very much an important factor in Hitler and mentored him. And again, it stated that he was the spiritual founder of Nazism. So let's look at how Eckart was really behind some of Hitler's, the molding and shaping of Hitler and the Nazi Party. Eckart had been called a dedicated Satanist and the central figure in the powerful and wide spread circle of occultists in the Thule Society. So here we have Hitler's mentor, it's a dedicated Satanist, and he's a central figure in the Thule Society and very much heavily involved in the occult. He was also a participant in a series of seances with two Russian generals who had left their native land to come to Germany. So he's heavily involved in necromancy, contacting the dead, holding seances and other things and all to get in contact with demonic spirits. So here we have Hitler's mentor, heavily involved in a cult, a Satanist, practicing necromancy, but he used that means to communicate, to obtain demonic knowledge and other things through occult practices. During this per se seance with these Russian generals who left Russia, Eckart and his associates were told of the imminent appearance of the German Messiah and Lord Maitreya. So if anybody knows, I don't know if he's still alive or not, if he's dead, but Benjamin Cream, which was Overshare International, really promoted the arrival of Lord Maitreya, which is the Antichrist in essence. So here's Eckart and his associates. They have the seance. They get these demonic messages that come back, the imminent appearance of a German Messiah, which manifests itself as Hitler, as this German Messiah and Lord Maitreya. Eckart also claimed to his fellow adepts in the Thule Society that he personally received a kind of satanic announcement that he was the main man to inspire by Lucifer to inspire the main person, which is Hitler. Eventually it was Hitler, by Lucifer to conquer the world and lead the Aryan race to glory. So here we have this man that's very much Hitler's mentor, Diedrich Eckart, heavily much involved in the cult, receiving this information through necromancy, and believed that he was the vessel or the person, kind of like the person or the German John the Baptist, preparing the way for this Lord Maitreya of Germany or this German Messiah to really lead the German people to this, the Third Reich, and establish a 1,000-year reign, satanic reign. You see all these things happening, and to really bring the Aryan race to glory and make this satanic announcement. So we have to really evaluate and speed that up the times that we're living in, and really look at the series that we're doing, seeing some of the signs that Hitler really showed some characteristics of the Antichrist, and some of the things that we can look at from the past are going to happen in the future. So hopefully you got something from part two. We'll do part three in the near future. Continue to listen to this series. You can listen to part one. We'll see if we can attach part one in the description section. So you can take time. If you didn't listen to part one, you can listen on the part one and then listen to part two. God bless. In time, Shofar, the End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. And you guys be blessed. Pray for me as I pray for you, because we're definitely living in the last days.